headquarters of Ramsey Solutions, it's the Ramsey Show, where debt is dumb, cash is king, and the paid-off home mortgage has taken the place of the BMW as the status symbol of choice. We help people build wealth, do work that they love, and create actual amazing relationships. We're so glad you're here, America. Thank you for joining us. Christina Ellis, number one best-selling author and Ramsey personality, is my co-host today. You jump in. We'll talk about your life and your money. The phone number, 888-825-5225. Frank is in Tallahassee, Florida, to start off this hour. Hi, Frank. How are you?
Hey, Dave. Hey, Christina. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. What's up?
How are you guys doing?
Good.
I got a quick question. Me and my wife are on baby step three. We make combined total of a little over 58 a year. We're debt free besides our mortgage, $216K.
That you said baby step three. Oh, three. You're working on your emergency fund.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, sir. We do have an emergency fund.
You're on baby step four.
Yes, sir. I believe. I'm sorry. I'm
getting mixed up. No trouble. Baby step four. So I'm just trying to make sure I know where you are. It's all good.
Yes, sir. Getting to it, I have a personal injury settlement that's coming in, a little over 100K, and I'm trying to find the best way to where to place this money at so I don't mess it up. Now, me and my wife, we don't have a 401K or IRA. We're a little bit starting behind with that. Our jobs don't offer that. So we know, I've been doing some research and listening to you guys talk about IRA accounts and things like that. So we know we want to put some in there, but we can only put a certain amount in that account. But we're just trying to figure out what's the best way to do with the rest of the money, where put it on the house or we'll go from there.
So how much do you have left on your house right now? You said
216.
All right, so y'all are in baby steps 4 through 6, which baby step 4 is saving 15% for retirement. So I love that you're looking into an IRA and starting to figure out what you want to do with retirement savings, because that's the first place we want you to stop. Do y'all have kids?
We have three. Two of them are about to be seniors this year. One of them has no ambition of doing the college thing. They want to get a trade. It's like plumbing or carpentry work. One of them having a hard time in school. And the other one is my special needs daughter. And so she is thinking about just doing daycare.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So baby step 5 is saving for your kids' college. You all have 3 kids. I'll be curious to get Dave's take on how much should go towards that. And then baby step 6 is paying off your house. So 100K is a good amount. Dave, what do you think in terms of the split?
Now, are you healed from the injury?
No, sir. I did 20 years of construction. Now I work 2 jobs. I had 2 jobs. Now I basically have 1 now. So I'm able to work, but it's the I'm limited to the kind of work I can do.
Okay. Do you have future surgeries on this injury
or
any ongoing medical bills?
No, sir.
Okay, so we don't need to allocate any of this money to the injury itself?
No, sir.
Okay. All right.
And how much do y'all have in your emergency fund right now?
A little over 17K.
Good for you. Awesome. Well, you've done a really good job to this point, and you're doing a really good job because a lot of people that get a settlement check like this feel like they hit the lottery. And you instead are of being all emotional and woo-hoo and throwing confetti up. You're like, okay, this feels like a responsibility as much as a blessing. And you're approaching it with a lot of maturity. Way to go. Good stuff.
Thank you, sir.
So, I'm with Christina. I would do a couple of Roth IRAs and set that up to where you've got automatically that $1,000 a month or so coming out. Probably doesn't have to be quite that much in the future. Out of your budget, you want to put 15% of your 60K aside, so that's not going to be quite that much. But let's make sure we're doing Roths automatically drafted and out of your budget going forward. Kids college, let's just say, okay, what do we need for kids college? Let's just look at it. Okay, special needs daughter's going into daycare. We don't have to worry about any funding of that, it sounds like. Probably do need to pay for some tech school for the boy that's going to be a plumber, or some kind of technical training if he would go get some community or some tech school type certifications. It'll probably advance his career in the plumbing field, wouldn't it?
Yes, sir. I think from what they're telling me, because he's a junior in high school now, that he can go to a trade school his senior year, and they'll start training him for outside work outside in the fields.
Yeah, I would just look into post high school education for his field and say, what's that going to cost? And let's set aside some money for that. Because I'm a firm believer that whether you go to college or whether you go into the trades, doesn't matter to me, but you need to get smarter than just high school. Everyone needs to do something after high school, train for something. Okay?
Yes, sir.
Because the data is there that, you know, if you go to a two-year, three-year diesel mechanic school, you make six figures, okay, in the trades. So, or you want to be a welder. And you go to trade school, that's fine. But let's put that into the budget here, into this, and say, okay, we need $10,000 for this kid to do this. So we're going to set that aside. We're going to set aside $12,000 for two Roth IRAs. We're going to set aside, and then I'm going to look at the third one and go, okay, we're going to plan for that one maybe to go to college. And so what are we going to budget for that? And we're going to set some money aside for that. And then the rest of this I'm putting towards the house.
Yes, sir.
I'm probably also going to budget about $10,000 just to go do something fun.
Gotcha.
Sounds like you guys have been through hell. You could use a little fun.
Oh, yeah. definitely that. And just so happens, I've been following your baby steps, and thank you for changing my life, my wife's life. And we just had a scare with the roof, so we're going to have to get our roof replaced as well. But I know I have the emergency fund for that.
Well, you don't even have to use it. I can use some of that $100 and not touch it for that. If you want, because you're going to turn and put the emergency fund back out of the $100 if you use it. So you might as well. But what I'm going to do with the $100 is I'm going to treat it like a monthly budget. I know that sounds weird, but I'm going to say, okay, here's $100. Now I need to give every one of those dollars an assignment. And we were just doing that here. Okay. 10 for fun, 10 for plumbing, 12 for two Roth IRAs. We're going to get the Roth set up. See what I'm doing. I'm starting to spend this money in a sense on paper, like I'm doing a budget.
Yes, sir.
And so go ahead and write it out with your wife and say, okay, we're gonna fix the roof, and that's going to be $6. And we're going to, this car needs to be upgraded, and that's going to be 10 or 11 or 2 or whatever it is, or not. And then the rest of it we're going to throw at the house. But if you'll go ahead and based on the baby steps and based on your household goals, give all of these dollars an assignment before the check gets there, it's a lot easier. Once it gets there, because what happens when you do that is you realize it's not that much money. When you hear $100,000, man, I mean, remember the first time I thought somebody's going to send me $100,000? I about went crazy. I thought, that's so much money! And then once you get it, it's not. It just goes. I mean, it's just not. It sounds like it's a lot. And it is. It's more than I used to, But yeah, it's... It calms you down to give every one of these dollars an assignment before the check gets there. Don't wait till the check gets there to do it. You'll make mistakes. This is The Ramsey Show. Christina Ellis, Ramsey Personality, number one best-selling author, is my co-host today. Open phones at 888-825-5225. Have you noticed that the stock market is down? Well, if you looked at it, you noticed. And some people are more than just noticing. They're like stressed out, freaked out, going, oh my gosh, I'm in freak out mode. A little drama queen action going, right? Yeah, well... You need somebody in your corner when this stuff's going on that can talk you off the ledge, so to speak. You need someone to walk with you, talk with you, teach you, and that way you don't jump into the market and out of the market at exactly the wrong times, which is what your emotion will cause you to do. The data shows that the people who work with an investing professional actually end up making more money, mainly because they stay invested. And, if the investing professional doesn't do anything except keep you from cashing in at exactly the wrong times, they will make you more money than they cost. if that's all they do. And of course, they do a lot more than that. They teach you about it. You make different decisions on taxes, all kinds of things. We recommend you work with what we call a SmartVestor Pro. SmartVestor Pros are people that they're investing professionals that we have vetted that will work with you one-on-one with the heart of a teacher. Go to RamseySolutions.com/SmartVestor. You can find a list of these people that we endorse, that we recommend the Ramsey Solutions way. SmartVestor Pros are everywhere. RamseySolutions.com/SmartVestor. Our question of the day comes from Blinds.com. Find out for yourself why Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Free samples, free shipping, and with the new promos they run every month, you'll save even more. Use the promo code Ramsey to get the best deal.
Today's question comes from Noah in Arizona. I'm about to graduate from high school. I have no credit card, and I was wondering how I can prove that I can pay my bills on time to an apartment owner to get a lease if I haven't started any major bills yet. The only bills I pay so far is car insurance. Do you have any guidance? Well, hey, Noah, good on you for thinking about that now. You sound like one of our foundation students who are getting that stuff in order early on, which is awesome. One of the biggest things they're going to want to see is your income. So I would really focus on that early on. You know, they're going to want to see a steady income history, which I know that can be hard straight out of high school. If you start working early on, maybe live somewhere with your parents for a bit and have that income history, that's great. But also look into options like having roommates. I mean, you may not qualify for an apartment straight away if you don't have that steady job and proof that you can pay. But you could always get a roommate who's got a lease and you can sign on and get a room with them.
So Noah, what's interesting is this is one of the most pervasive myths out there. It's an absolute lie. You have to have a credit score to rent an apartment. You just don't. It's a lie. You know how we know? We took one of our Ramsey personalities, got them on the phone, put it on YouTube, and they called 27 apartment complexes and said, hey, I'm moving to Nashville for my first job. I don't have anything except a job. I have never borrowed any money. I don't have any credit score. Is that okay? Can I rent an apartment there? And they're like, yeah, sure. Do I have to do anything special? Some of them said you need to put up a little larger deposit. Some of them said we need to see your W-2. We need to see a pay stub from the new job. Well, I haven't ever borrowed any money. I don't have a credit score. No problem. Out of 27, three of them had a problem. Three.
It's good odds.
And these were like regular apartment complexes, corporate management, corporate ownership, all this stuff. So this idea that you have to have a credit score to rent an apartment is absolute bullcrap. Now, some, yeah, that's true. It is harder to rent a car with a debit card than it is to rent an apartment with no credit score. Much harder. Much harder. So this is just one of those things that people, this mythology that people tell, we used to call it in the legal world, they call it street law. Everybody thinks they know what the law is because they heard something one time on Matlock, you know, and they don't know anything about the law. But everybody then starts to believe this myth, this lie, and it's spread around. You know, here's the thing, Noah, call 20 apartment complexes and prove me wrong. You're going to find three of them won't let you in. And 17 of them will. Some of them want a higher deposit. They all want what Christina said. They want proof of income. They just want to know you can pay the bill. If apartment complexes never rented to young people doing their first job, they'd have no customers. Old people that have been on the job 25 years are not in apartment complexes, people, most of the time. They're not the primary customer anyway. Okay? So I kind of believed it. And then Anthony O'Neill, that used to be one of our personalities, sat down, dialed the phone, and the YouTube of him dialing that phone, nope. It's humorous. It's so ridiculous. And because it's one of these things that's just widely believed to be true that is an absolute lie. That's humorous to me. That it's the emperor has no clothes thing.
We all believe that it's this way, and we're afraid to say out loud that it's not
until you prove them with actual data. And so, just amazing.
So let that myth be busted.
There we go. Pop that puppy. All right, Brittany's with us. Brittany's in Cincinnati. How are you, Brittany?
I am better than I deserve, Dave.
Good. How can we help?
I am calling to ask if we should pull from the emergency fund to help pay off our house.
Is it an emergency?
No.
Well, why is it called an emergency fund then?
Exactly. So we were a little bit hesitant because we received an inheritance check. And with that check and what we have in our checking and our savings, including the emergency, we could pay off our house in full.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so how much do you owe on your house?
After August, we will owe $61,000.
And how much was the inheritance check?
$25,000.
Okay, and how much do you have in your emergency fund?
We have in that account $20,000, but only $12,000 earmarked for emergency.
Okay, so you have a $12,000 emergency fund.
Yeah, and then in our checking accounts, we have $20,000.
Okay. Well, the $20,000 from your checking and the $8,000 that is not earmarked as an emergency fund are not in this discussion. That's all going towards the house, right? That gets you there, though, doesn't it? Almost.
Almost, yeah.
And then what's your household income?
A little over $76,000.
Yeah. Well, we do not recommend you go below the 12, which is your emergency fund. So the answer is no, okay. We don't use your emergency fund to pay off your house. Now, if you had an emergency fund that was 3 to 6 months of expenses and you were on the 6 month side and you wanted to cheat back to the 3 month side for a little bit, and that would do it, but that won't do it here, number one. Number two, your emergency fund's not huge. $12,000 is not huge.
Yeah, we're very frugal.
Yeah. So $12,000 is good. I'm happy with that, but I wouldn't go below that.
Okay. So
what do you think, Christina?
Take our time.
Yeah, I agree. I love that you want to pay off the house, and I think that's awesome to be in baby step seven, but I think I would just take it a little bit slower to stay safe. I wouldn't jeopardize the emergency fund because, again, you could be, you know, have a roof problem or a leak, and then all of a sudden you're in a whole other different issue. So I love keep the gas on the pedal and keep going forward, but just maybe slow it down just a tad bit so that
How much was the inheritance again?
Well, we've had several portions, but this time was $25,000.
Okay. All right. So you have $53,000 if you don't touch the 12 and you need 61.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you're within $8,000 and you make $70,000. So you're going to pay off the house by the first of the year anyway, give or take.
Yes.
Yeah. So, no, we're not going below the emergency fund. Because all it does is takes about 6 months off this process, and you're within reach. If you got something else you can sell that you want to pay off the house, I'm okay with that. But I'm not going into the emergency fund. Let me tell you what: when you mess with your emergency fund for something that's not an emergency, it's sending an engraved invitation to Murphy, saying, "Murphy, come screw with my life," because he will. He's standing there ready to come, and you just open the Murphy gate and let him in. Don't do that. This is the Ramsey Show. Christina Ellis, number one best-selling author, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host. Teresa is with us from Lincoln, Nebraska, on the debt-free stage. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Bit of a haul from Lincoln to Nashville.
It was a long drive.
Well, welcome. How much debt did you pay off?
$46,303.
Way to go. And how long did this take you?
13 months.
Good for you. And your range of income during that time?
Started at 39 and went to 79,000.
Wow. Very cool. What kind of debt was the 46?
I had student loans, a car loan, credit card debt, everything.
You were kind of normal.
A little bit.
So what happened and made you weird? You got lined up on this Ramsey stuff. Tell us the story.
So I actually met my current boyfriend,
mm-hmm.
and we went on our first date. Mm-hmm. And yes, we did talk about money.
He's a real romantic, isn't he?
It was natural. He asked me, though, what my goal was for debt, and I told him I wanted to be debt-free before I was 30. Mm-hmm. At the time, I was 25. Mm-hmm. I was about to turn 26. Mm-hmm. And he was like, okay, yeah. You know, he told me about you, told me how he came on here 2 years ago. He did his scream.
Oh.
He's debt-free. Told me his life. And I was like, okay, like...
This guy's debt-free. He's kind of attractive.
Yeah, exactly. It processed. A couple weeks later, he gifted me the Total Money Makeover. Read it in like two days.
He's subtle as a brick through a window, isn't he?
Once he gifted it, I read it. It clicked. And I was like, nope, I've got to do this. So I started hustling. I sold a truck I had. I had a 77 Chevy that I sold. Ooh. It was my baby. And I told him... I will never sell this truck. I'll never get rid of this. It's not going anywhere.
What did it sell for?
$4,500. It was hard. I still, to this day, I'm like, I'm getting that thing back. One day. I had a car. I sold that. I think that's when he took me seriously, that I was serious about getting out of debt at that point, because he was like, wow, she sold her truck. I told him I'm never selling this thing. Finally sold my truck, sold my car. After that, I started hustling. Just started working before work, full-time job, after work. And after that, once I got into it, it was a competition, and I couldn't stop with myself. I was like, oh, I'm going to beat this 17 months. I'm going to beat this 15 months. I'm going to beat it even more than that. And I just kept going and going and going. And then once I got done, it was like, I'm done? Really?
Man, I love that. I was going to ask you what was the hardest part, but it sounds like the truck.
The truck was hard, yes, in the beginning, but just continually going was really hard for me. Mm. You know, after so long, you're just like, I'm so tired. Tired of working 15, 16.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a compliance analyst for an energy company.
So you had extra hours doing that, or you picked up side gigs?
Side gigs.
What was the best paying side hustle?
Probably grocery delivery. Mm. Yeah, I did it all. I think I had like 8 of them at one point in time. But yeah. I could.
Not afraid of hard work, are you?
Nope.
And you did this pretty quick, too. 13 months. That's impressive.
Yeah, I think when I started, it was 16 months. And I was like, nope, can't do that. And my original goal was 11. But I blew a tranny in my car, so I had to get another car. And just a bunch of stuff happened. Medical bills and other things piled on top of that. So
you're working like crazy. You're selling things like crazy. Did people think you were crazy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. People kept asking me, why are you working so much? Why are you doing this? What are you doing? Why? And it just was clear to me, I understood why I wanted that lifestyle. I was sick and tired of constantly making payments, not being able to make those payments, or only having, you know, $50 at the end of the day to go and get groceries. I was just tired of that lifestyle. I didn't want to do it. And now, I mean, when I blew that transmission in that car, before that would have been the end of the world. I would have been crying and everywhere. I still remember that day. I called him and I was like, just blew the tranny. He's like, what? And we're like, okay, we'll figure it out. And I was like, all right, yeah, it's cool. We'll get a new car. Yeah. In a matter of moments, we had another one lined up and ready to go. And it was like I was like, wow, this is what it feels like to have that freedom to not stress and not have to put yourself backwards and use a credit card to do it or get a loan to do it as well.
Yeah, because it goes from being like this life-altering emergency to an inconvenience. It's like, oh man, that's unfortunate, but we can afford this.
Yep.
So for somebody who's on the fence, who's thinking about starting the baby steps, who has a lot of debt, what would you tell them right now?
Figure out your why and what motivates you and push to get to that goal. Mm. You know, I'm a little
bit
competitive.
Go on a date with somebody that went through Financial Peace University.
Or that.
That works, too.
But, hey, I got FPU on my own. I went through it all. I watched him religiously, took notes. I'm a note person.
Wow.
So I did that on my own after he gave me the book. And after that, it just clicked in my mind, and I was like, man, what am I doing? This is crazy. I'm working too hard to be living this stressful, you know?
Yeah, you're amazing. Well done, girl. You got after it. I love it. So it's proud impressive. Of you. So you got out of debt by 26. Is that what you said?
No.
27?
Just would have turned 27.
Okay. All right. Way to go.
Just shy.
Not even 30 years old, though.
Nope. Beat that goal.
And you are free. You are free. Which, I mean, previously you thought you were just going to be there your whole life.
Yeah. I've honestly never lived a life of not having debt.
Yeah.
This is the first, and I have never felt more free. You know, coming up here, I would have been super stressed about, oh, let's go out to eat. No. Like, we got to stick to this budget. We're on a trip. We're still on a budget, though. Mm. I mean, we're on a budget, but we're still having fun. We're still being able to go and do what we want. We swipe the card or debit card or cash when we go to dinner or whatever we do. So I love that feeling. It's amazing. Yeah. I would never go back to that. It's
completely in control. Instead of out of control and don't know what's going to happen.
Exactly.
The ambient anxiety that just hangs in the air around you when you don't have a plan and you're not executing. Even when you're not out of debt yet, once you got the plan, the anxiety drops off.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're just like, game on. Like when the transmission hit and all that. It's the same thing. It's just game on, game on. So this is your biggest cheerleader, I assume, him?
This was my biggest cheerleader, yep.
Okay.
My mom and my sister were extremely supportive. Mm-hmm. They're listening right now.
Okay. Did they think you were crazy or they still supported you, or they thought, yeah, finally she's going to do this?
I think they thought I was a little bit crazy for how much I was working and, you need to slow down. But at the end of the day, they knew exactly why I was doing it too. Mm-hmm. You know, just to have that freedom. My stress levels, my anxiety levels, it's like to a healthy rate now.
Yeah.
You know, not where I was at, where I couldn't, you know, it was really big struggle. And right before I happened to do this, I moved into my own apartment again. Mm-hmm. I was, you know, going through some crazy time in life, and it was just, I couldn't even afford. I mean, at the end of that month, I think I had like $50 for groceries. Mm-hmm. So it was like doing what I could with friends to try and, you know, like, hey, I'll babysit your kids, but then that means I get a meal or something. So I'm not having to stress about the money. And now it's like, I don't even stress about it at all.
Yeah.
I bet they are so proud of you. You are a walking, breathing example. That is awesome.
Yeah, very well done. You're a rock star. We're proud of you.
Thank you.
Very, very cool. Good stuff. Good stuff. Excellent job. All right, now that you've done it, what do you tell people the key to getting out of debt is?
Don't give up. Just keep going. You know why you're doing it. You know what you want.
What was the low point when you almost gave up?
Oh, I think it was probably like the last final months. It was just that point where I was like, I'm so tired. I'm exhausted. I was sleeping minimal hours because I was working like crazy, and it was just that hard internal drive to not, you know, I couldn't stop. I knew I couldn't stop, but I didn't want to keep going either. But I knew I didn't want to be in debt. So it was like, choose your hard. What's your hard going to be?
Yeah.
Either work or, you know, do your fun and whatever. But at the end of the day, going through and having fun didn't make me happy because I knew I was doing it on debt or it was going to catch up to me later on. So getting that out of the way, it was just
There's your freedom. Lock for now. Choose your heart.
I love that.
You're going to have one. Choose it. Got a copy of Baby Steps Millionaires for you. That's the next chapter in your story. You're going to be one. No question about it in my mind. A copy of Total Money Makeover for you to give away. Maybe some of those naysayers need some help. And a Financial Peace University membership as well. And you've been through it, but maybe you can give that away and help somebody. Cool. Very proud of you, Charissa.
Thank you.
Nebraska, $46,000 paid off in 13 months, making 39 to 79. Count it down. Let's hear a debt-free scream.
3, 2, 1. I'm debt free!
Yeah! This is how it's done! Whoop, 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 whoop! And not even 30. Boom! This is The Ramsey Show. Scripture of the day, Romans 12:13. Take a constant interest in the needs of God's beloved people and respond by helping them, and eagerly welcome people as guests into your home. Robert Louis Stevenson said, "Don't judge each day by the harvest you reap, but by the seeds you plant." Jackie is with us in Honolulu. Hi, Jackie. Welcome to The Ramsey Show.
Hello. How are y'all?
Better than we deserve. What's up in your world?
Me and my husband, we're doing good. I just have a question as to where to put the savings that we have. Maybe you guys can help us out. We have combined $47,000 in debt. And also we are planning an actual wedding next year. in wedding and honeymoon, we want to spend no more than $10K. I have saved up $19K that I've had since before we got together, and I want to put that towards our debt. But my husband thinks that we should put it towards the wedding and then just keep the remaining as an emergency fund. So we're kind of debating as to where to put the money, and I just wanted to see if you guys can give us some advice.
What's your household income going to be after you're married?
Well, we got married in court, so we're together now. We just got both got a promotion, so together we're going to make $170K.
You got married what?
We've been married for 10 months, but it was only a court wedding. So we want to have an actual wedding next year that our family can be there because their parents were sick, so they weren't able to be there.
Gotcha. So you want to have a celebration, but you're married.
Yeah, and I want to get married to church because I'm Catholic, so I still have to do that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. All right, so now what is your household income today then?
Together is $170K.
$170,000. Wow, you make a lot of money to be this broke.
Well, I mean, I technically didn't really have much debt, but now we're married, so it's ours.
Mm-hmm.
And you're wanting to know which order to pay off the debt? Is that the question?
Yeah, because I have $19K in savings, and I wanted to pay off my car, and that will leave me $5K. But now with him, he has $33K in debt, motorcycle and student loans, and we also have a wedding coming up.
When is the wedding celebration planned?
It's planned for next year in September.
This coming September or a year from September?
A year from now, so 2023, September.
You have a lot of time to save for that wedding.
Well, and especially with that income. Yeah, especially with that income, I think you can knock out the debt well before the wedding. And in terms of what order, we recommend the debt snowball, which is where you list your debts from smallest to largest, regardless of the interest rates. And you start paying on that smallest debt with aggression. You want to pour everything into that while paying minimum payments on the rest. And then you're going to pay that off. And then you're going to take the payment from that and pay off the next debt. And put all of your aggression into that next debt. And it kind of builds up like a snowball rolling downhill. So yeah, definitely starting with that smallest debt is where we want you.
So Jackie, let's talk to him about this. Let me throw out some numbers to you. If I got these right, tell me if I got them right. Okay, you have $47,000 in debt, and you need $10,000 for a wedding. That's $57,000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you had a wedding in September, 14 months from now, and you were debt-free, we need $57,000 to do those two things 14 months from now. Does that sound right to you?
Yeah.
Okay, you have $20,000, 19.
Yeah, basically.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you only need $37,000 in 14 months while making $170,000. I mean, really? I think we can do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I would take all but $1,000 of the 19. Baby step one, we teach a thing called the baby steps. Baby step one is $1,000 saved. Baby step two is pay off all of your debts, smallest to largest. So I'm going to put $18,000 on the $47,000 worth of debt tomorrow, tonight, on the computer, whatever we do, okay? I'm going to get on a written budget, and the two of you are going to be on beans and rice and beans, no eating out, no vacations, no frills. We're getting out of debt, and we're saving for a wedding. And if you can't save or move $37,000 out of $170,000 in 14 months, something's wrong with you people.
Yeah.
No, really? I mean, that leaves you $130,000 to live on.
Yeah. I mean, Hawaii is expensive.
Come on.
You can get out of it.
Come on. $130,000?
I want to get a house.
You can't live on $130,000?
No, yeah, we can.
Okay. That leaves you $40,000 to pay off debt, and you'll be debt free. Easy. That's like a hot knife through butter, kiddo.
Well, and it's just for a season, too.
It's not forever. It's just for this one little period of time. So the point is, you can be debt-free and have the money for the wedding easily by 1 year from September. Especially given we got $18,000 to throw at it. Now, I don't know if you all are going to do that or not, because it sounds like you guys are just kind of sniffing around the edges of this stuff. You haven't decided who you want to be yet. And for sure, he doesn't want to do it. So you guys got to decide, yeah. Do we want to be debt-free? Because here's the point. You can be debt-free and have a wedding for $10,000 in September of 23. It's only a question of if you will. Mathematically, we're all agreeing right now it's possible. And it is what you should do. So we know what you should do. We know what you can do. The only thing we don't know is what you will do.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I was thinking of using the savings, but, you know, you was telling me we should keep them for the wedding in an emergency.
Where were you in the last 5 minutes?
I mean, I don't know. I want to pay it off.
Okay. All right. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a wedding gift for your court wedding. And we'll see if it sticks for your Catholic wedding. I'm going to send you a copy of the Total Money Makeover. You and hubby read that thing, and you're going to start to figure out that I'm right, okay? You cannot save money at $19,000 while you have a car debt and all this other debt, and your money's making 0.5% in the bank and get ahead. You make $170,000. You spend money like you're in Congress. You're going to have to get this in control. And until you do, you're going to live a life of regret. You're going to wake up with a financial hangover, and you're going to feel like you live in chaos and anxiety to anxiety to anxiety like you do right now. And that's why you called me, Jackie. That's why you call me for that. You call Christina because she's nice.
Well, Jackie, I was going to say, too, like, I would encourage y'all to go on a date and talk about your why. It seems like right now paying off the debt doesn't seem like a super huge priority. But like we said earlier, it's just a season. Like, if you can get through this season and have a so that, I think you'll see that it's worthwhile. This isn't going to be forever. You said you want to get a house and there's different things you want to do. But dream up what that looks like and think about, how's it going to feel to be debt free? We had that debt free scream earlier, and she said the thing that kept her going was her why. So live in that for a little bit. Think of what it is and think of how it'll feel and how good it's going
to
feel.
The shortest distance between where you are right now and wealth is to get on a plan, learn to work together, and clear this debt so that you've got the $170,000. You make a wonderful income. It'd be a shame to get to the end of your life, have made this kind of money, and have absolutely nothing to show for it. That'd be a shame. Don't do that. Don't live that life. So you're gonna get a sense of pride, a sense of empowerment, a sense of togetherness when you're working towards a shared goal, like Christina's talking about, a big why, because I think you could be very, very wealthy in 5 to 7 years. If you'll get your crap together, but not with the conversation I'm having with you right now. You're just a dog chasing its tail right now. I mean, you're just back and forth. Maybe we need to save a little. Man, listen, the deal is we teach this stuff. We've taught it to 10 million people. This works. We've made more millionaires than anybody you've ever talked to. And that's why the latest best-selling book is Baby Steps Millionaires, because we show you how to do it. Now, kiddo, you can do this. We just looked at the numbers. The only question is, will you? That's the only question remaining. You should and you can, but will you? Hang on. Austin will pick up and we'll give you a book. Christina, good hour. Well done. Well done to Kelly, to Andrew, to Zach, to Ben, to Austin, the team in the booth. I am Dave Ramsey, your host. We'll be back with you before you know it. In the meantime, remember, there's ultimately only one way to financial peace, and that's to walk daily with the Prince of Peace, Christ Jesus.
You've been inspired to make a change with your money? Want to know where to start? Take our 3-minute money quiz to get a plan you can follow. Go to RamseySolutions.com and search for Get Started to get a plan for your money.
If you enjoy this podcast, you should check out other great podcasts from the Ramsey Network, like The Ken Coleman Show.
Are you doing what you were born to do? I'm Ken Coleman, host of The Ken Coleman Show, where I give you practical advice to help you discover your purpose and then map out a plan to get you there. From accounting to advertising, from plumbing to production, you were created to fill a unique role, and the world needs what you have to offer. Join me on The Ken Coleman Show wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, it's James, producer of The Ramsey Show. This episode is over, but check the episode notes for links to products and services you heard about during this episode. Thanks for listening.